Hey everybody, welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise, podcast number 77, on February 22nd, 2014. I'm happy you're here listening, and I'm happy that I am finally sitting down in the chair and doing this podcast. Had some kind of a podcast block and finally decided it was just time to make myself do it, so here I am. First of all, let me update you on my fundraising to get to Washington, D.C. You guys, oh my gosh, you so came through. As you may or may not recall, my total last time was $750 of the $1,000 that I really needed to raise. And then let me tell you what got sent my way since I did the last podcast. First of all, there was a Valentine's Day gift that arrived from Jim on Valentine's Day in the amount of $100. This is not Jim's first donation, and I've lost track of how much Jim has contributed, but Jim, you're a very generous man. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that. And then Eugene sent in a really interesting amount, $51.15. I'm not sure what that represents. I looked at it for a while and thought, why $51.15? And then I shrugged my shoulders and thought $51.15 is as good as any other amount. And there is some kind of, there's some kind of balance and back and forth that reminded me of role reversal, because the 5-1 and then the period and the 1-5. So you have a mirror image kind of each other, and maybe I'm looking too deep here, but Eugene, thank you very much for the donation. That was very generous, and I will be in contact with you regarding your subscription. Adam sent in $25. Adam, thank you so much for that. Really appreciate the donation. And Adam also checked in with us. I'm going to read his letter to us in just a little bit. And then last but far from least, another Jim, a different Jim, sent in a donation of $400. At first when I saw this, I have a PayPal app on my phone, and first when I saw it, I thought, somebody pressed the zero too many times, and for sure they're going to contact me, and they are going to tell me that, please, please, can I have the money back, because I didn't mean to give you that much. I mean, it was a big, big surprise. But pretty quickly after the donation was made, Jim followed up with an email, and he said, you know, you need to make it to D.C., and you need to not worry about this, so I wanted to kick you up over the top, and so please accept my donation. Thank you, Jim. I can't thank you enough. That's an amazingly generous donation, and now I will actually have a little bit and enough money to go out and have a nice dinner while I'm there and things like that. So I really appreciate that. This brings us, fans of Pegging Paradise, to a grand total of $1,325.15. So I think that although I felt badly about not doing the podcast for a few weeks, it totally worked in my favor in terms of people continuing to donate past the $1,000 mark. I will use that money wisely. I will spread the word as much as I can. And thank you all very much. So the fundraising for the DC trip is officially over. I am going to find some way to keep a donation link up just to support my work in spreading the word. There's a lot of projects that I would love to be able to begin, like making videos that for all of you that are out there that would love to come to my classes, but I don't teach in where you live, and I pretty much teach in a very limited area. The videos are going to be the next project up after I come back from DC. So that's one thing that I'll be working on. Plus there's website maintenance, there's traveling to teach, there's a bunch of different things. So I am going to keep that up, and I'll probably have some clever title on it, like, how about give a little bit so that more men can take it, or something like that. Anyway, I'm humbled. Thank you all for your support. Really, really appreciated it. And I am really getting excited about going to DC because it's coming right up. Okay, here's Adam's letter. Just wanted to drop you a note as you have both inspired and comforted me with your words. I'm male, 42 years old. I'm sorry, let me read that again, Adam. I'm male, 42 years young, and live in the UK. I'm not sure how long I've been into pegging. At first, I loved to see just women with strap-ons having sex with each other, and I found men being penetrated a bit of a turn-off. Then, for some reason, I found it erotic to see women pegging men. Perhaps this is the time I discovered the wonderful sensation I felt when my own ass was touched. Unfortunately, my wife isn't into pegging that much. She doesn't mind touching me around my ass, but putting anything in is a no-no. Bit strange, as she did buy a strap-on when I told her about my fantasy. I've only persuaded her to use it once, and it didn't go down too well. Apparently, I gave the strap-on all of the attention, and not her. Whoops. I'm trying to be patient and live in hope that one day she will strap it on and peg me properly. Until then, I just bought myself the Aneros on your recommendation, and boy, am I impressed. I feel like I'm a young boy again, just discovering sex. The sensations it gives me are amazing. I love the sensation of sliding it in and filling me up. It does take a little patience and some relaxation to use, but I've felt the P waves, and I may even have had some dry O's. I'm finding it quite addictive, as I want to experience more and more of these sensations and hopefully, ultimately, find the big O. The Aneros forums, which are excellent, by the way, discuss the journey, quote, end quote, and I've got to say it's very exciting. Thank you so much for the recommendation. Anyway, good luck on your trip to D.C. I've sent you $25 to help spread the word. Kind regards, Adam. Adam, wow. I'm really glad that you got the Aneros and that you're having such a great time with it. It does take you on a journey, it does. And I have to say that those forums at Aneros are the one place in that exists that we all know about where men actually come together, support each other, and talk about something sexual and talk about orgasms and things. It's the most amazing place. So I'm really, really glad you found that. And I know that part of the language that you use in the P waves and the O's, that's what they talk about in the forums. And they have a whole way of relating to and talking about, describing all of the sensations that you get when you use the Aneros. And for anybody who's new to my podcast, the Aneros is a solo anal prostate massage device. It was initially created to do prostate massage to relieve symptoms of BPH, which is benign prostatic hyperplasia. And then once that it was made and the people were using it, they started having all these orgasmic experiences, and they realized the potential of it being a pleasure device as well. So, you know, what else can you do? Well, that's not true. I was going to say, what else can you do that gives you so much pleasure and is healthy at the same time? But simply having sex has been proven many times to be quite healthy for you. Anyway, I'm glad you have that. I'm not so glad to hear that your wife is totally not into it. I think sometimes as time goes on, if you have patience, like you mentioned that you do, but you keep occasionally and calmly and gently mentioning that it is something that you would like to explore. And it's interesting how you noticed that you gave the strap on all the attention, or at least from her point of view, that's what happened. That's unfortunate. I mean, when you explore something brand new and a toy is involved, it can be pretty easy to give the toy a lot of the attention. And some people are very insecure about toys. More often, it ends up that the men are more insecure about toys because they feel like their cock is getting replaced, right? But I have found with the pegging that women also have their insecurities, sort of like, I'm not good enough for you. Why do we have to bring a toy, a thing, a device in so that you can be happy? Why am I not enough for you? And that's an interesting concept that I have a lot to say about, actually. First of all, there's the concept of someone being everything to another person. This is not really possible. We all have our individual things. I mean, if I have really big breasts and I get together with a guy who likes women with little tiny breasts, I can't give that experience to him. And I know that perhaps is an oversimplification, but usually toys are used for sexual purposes when it's something that you can't do yourself. Well, obviously, your wife doesn't have a penis, so she can't fuck you. So the toy is an important part of it. Just like if there is a vibrator that you use on her that she totally loves, if that's the case, that would be something that you cannot mimic those exact that exact type of stimulation with her, so you use a toy. And you know, at the end of the day, toys are discarded and cleaned and put back into the toy box, and you cuddle up with your loved one, and you get all cozy and you go to sleep. The toys don't replace anything, and the toys really are just things to play with. And sometimes in the beginning stages of playing with a toy, it's really exciting and the toy's really fun. And especially with men finding out what pegging feels like in their prostate, being like a G-spot stimulation and all of the pleasure that it can provide, you know, they experience that and get very, very interested in just doing that. I've talked about that before on my podcast, where men just want to do that all the time. And that's another initial mistake. I mean, it's what I tell women is that if you all of a sudden found a way to have an orgasm about 10 times more powerful than anything you've ever had, wouldn't you be excited about doing it all the time? Like a lot? Like, you know, every time? So, I don't know, there are some allowances that I think need to be made, and I wish people, when they would get into the bedroom, would be a little less rigid, a little less self-conscious, and a little more confident that they are enough for their partner, that the two of you can work it out and talk about it. I'm not sure if your wife enjoys G-spot stimulation, but if she does, that might be one way to talk with her about it. G-spot stimulation is such an amazing sensation as a woman, and to have my guy come to me and say, hey, you know how much you like the G-spot thing that I do with you? And maybe, you know, if you make her squirt or something like that, to compare it to that, compare it to, okay, now that is the type of pleasure that I can achieve with the pegging or with the prostate massage. And so I would really like to explore it further and to be very, very gently persistent. Not in a hammering at home, give her all the articles to read, after her all the time about it. It's a fine line to walk. You know, do a little bit of campaigning and back off. And also, at the same time, and I've said this a lot of times before, make sure that you rock her world sexually as good as you can, because the better you rock her world sexually, the more she will likely be willing to do whatever it is you want, because she is so happy and so satisfied with how you have made her feel. So that's the only other advice I have to give you. I do hope that she comes around. Not all women do, but if she doesn't, you at least have the Eneros, and there are all kinds of other toys that you can use solo. But I do hope that we play the music for you. The next time I do a podcast, maybe? That would be cool. I mean, I know technically you've already done it once, but I don't know. I like to play the music when it's a successful pegging attempt. The other thing I might suggest is, seeing as the only time that you did it, her complaint was that you paid all the attention to the strap-on, another suggestion that I would give you, since you did try it the one time and she said that you gave all the attention to the strap-on, is to please her the first. Make sure she gets hers. Make sure she has an orgasm or two or three or however many she wants or can have, and then do the pegging. If she's relaxed and happy and having a good time and satisfied, I don't think that it would feel the same way to feel like you're giving all the attention to the strap-on. And I think that's all the information and advice that I have for you. So I wish you the best, and please do let us know how it goes, and good luck to you. And thanks again for the donation, Adam. Okay, this is someone who wrote in response to a podcast a ways back. Someone had asked me about getting a VCH, which is a vertical clitoral hood piercing, and how that would be compatible with a double-ended dildo. And so here is one more woman weighing in who has that situation. Hey, Ruby, I remember a while back you posted asking about using a double dildo with a VCH for pegging. I got one about 2 months ago and absolutely love it. It increases the level of feeling and feedback I get from my real dough. I use it in combo with a spare parts Jacques, and we tossed the vibe that came with it and replaced it with a better one. One thing, if I peg more than 2 nights in a row, it will be a little irritated, but nothing that a day off of sex doesn't fix. Just thought you'd like to know. Yes, That is great information. Thank you for writing in. And it's great information because I'm actually considering a piercing like that myself. I have a couple of girlfriends who have it, and they love it. So thanks for the info. Because, man, if it wasn't compatible with a double dildo, no VCH for me. Okay, here's another letter. Hi, Ruby. First, I'd like to thank you for publishing such an informative and entertaining site. I've been with my girlfriend for over 5 years, and we're actually shopping for wedding rings right now. Here's a little more background information. About 2 years ago, I was going through the whole am I gay phase because I had secretly found ass play pleasurable and wasn't very educated on the male physiology. Due to my alpha image and personality, I could never talk about this with anyone, much less my girlfriend. I think this initiated a case of HOCD per my own diagnosis. After doing some research, I came across your site and many others about pegging and the prostate. I felt better the more knowledgeable I became about the subject. I then decided to muster up the courage to talk to my girlfriend and put all the cards on the table. I didn't want to hide anything from her, and I have never been afraid of anything else, so why this? She was very understanding, and we started to communicate more openly about each other, which brought us closer together. Eventually, I told her about the pegging fantasy. That didn't go as well as I hoped. She had, and still has, very strict ideals when it comes to gender and sexual roles. It seems to me her father was a bit of a homophobe, and she inherited some of that trait. We decided to explore a little together, taking baby steps. We purchased some toys for her and some anal beads for me, which to date remain unopened. She was never able to get her mind, or even finger for that matter, around the idea. Fast forward another year, we bought a few other toys, a small plug, and a wired bullet vibrator. It took a little while, but eventually we used the vibe, with limited interaction on her part, although we still had good sex. She likes playing with my ass, just doesn't like the idea of anything going in there, not even hers. I remain patient. I feel like we've both grown so much through all this. I know for sure I'm not gay, and I'm more confident about my sexuality than I ever have been. I just happen to know my ass feels good in some type of way. I think she's past the whole gay thing too, but it's still hard for her to get her mind around the whole role reversal aspect. She grew up thinking, if a guy likes anything back there, he must be gay. Nonetheless, she said she would be willing to try, just to give her a little time. Time I gave her, but it seems, and she confirmed, she just said that so that hopefully I would forget or let it go. It's just hard for her to get comfortable, even though at times I joke with her about behaving like a man, as she does quite often. Within the last month or so, we talked about it again and decided to go ahead and buy some equipment. After much research, I ended up ordering a Fun Factory share along with the spare parts Jacques Harness, which, with her pleasure in mind before my own. The share came in first. A few days after it arrived in the mail, I didn't want to rush it. We opened it. She still couldn't believe I wanted that inside me. Sometimes the conversations go from informative and educational to awkward. Most of the time they end in awkward. She said not to show it to her for a couple of days, but we'll try it someday. One thing I forgot to mention is that unfortunately for us, she decided to do some research on her own, which led her to the porn. I've read your article on how porn ruins pegging, and I couldn't agree with you more. You can only imagine what she saw that had her running toward the hills like an Olympic sprinter. Anyways, about a week later, the Jacques Harness arrives. I waited another couple of days to open it. She actually wanted to do it. She liked the material, and we talked a little more until it got uncomfortable again. And I put the harness up. Maybe I talked too much, reinstating the same arguments she already knows. I did, however, manage to get her to speak about some of her fears. She thinks she's not good enough for me because she needs something else to please me, and she doesn't have a dick of her own. The plug resembles a finger in her eyes, which is why she has no problem there. Another thing she's afraid about is the act of emasculating me. She loves me being the strong, tough guy that I am, and she feels like she might not look at me the same afterwards and not want to be with me. After that, we both got over it, hugged, kissed, and had some awesome sex. I don't like to bring the subject up because it makes things uncomfortable, and I can't send her a link to any articles because she's seen enough and I don't want her to think this is always on my mind. My course of action right now is to remain patient. I don't know what else to do, and I definitely don't want to push her away. The next day after I got off work, she was preparing my lunch in the kitchen and did a hump-like motion and said, "This is how I'm going to do it," laughing out loud. We both laughed, which was good, especially because I know she's thinking about it and playing with the idea. I encouraged the playful behavior and am now just playing the waiting game. With the equipment in stock, I hope she comes around soon, maybe even Valentine's Day. But I'm a dreamer, and this is a hard one to read. What do you think my next step should be so that our new investment doesn't end up like the anal beads? I really appreciate your help, and my apologies for writing you a short novel. I just wanted you to have as much information as possible, as that would make your advice much more valuable. Hope to hear from you soon. Well, first, dear listener, let me apologize that it has not been soon and that Valentine's Day is long since passed. But moving on from there to take a look at your situation and see what I can tell you. This has echoes of the initial letter that I read about a woman not feeling good enough because she needs something to please you. You know, I'm not sure what else I can say about that, but it is something that if you can get over it, if a person can get over it, it opens up an entire world of sex toys to play with. And goodness knows, the longer you're together, the more it becomes a challenge to have fun, exciting sex. And sex toys just make the world go round at that point. It seems as if there is a lack of self-confidence, so probably one of the things that I would advise first off is to let her know how sexy she is to you and how much you want her and how much you enjoy having sex with her. And that at least will build up a more solid foundation of confidence within her, hopefully. Or at least it might affect it in a positive direction. So that's the first thing I would say. And the other part is to, at some point in time, I know you're being patient and you don't want to talk about it all the time, to let her know that a toy is just a toy. And if by bringing a toy in, they can, you know, you can have all kinds of pleasure together, then there's really no harm in that. I'm wondering if there's any toys that you have that you use on her, because that would be the obvious comparison here. And if you don't have any toys that you use on her, there are some great ones out there. The one I just got that I'm raving about is the Enjoy Pure Wand. If she is a G-spot kind of woman and she really likes G-spot stimulation, the Enjoy Pure Wand is the most amazing thing I've ever found. And it's good for solo play, and it's really good for partner play, too. So you get the point, though. Maybe she's not a G-spot kind of woman and she's strictly clitoral, but there are all kinds of amazing toys out there that you can try with her. And if she enjoys those, then there's absolutely no reason that there shouldn't be an equal, you know, quid pro quo. That's an interesting way to put it, but you know, it's sort of like she gets hers, you get yours. And I don't mean for this to sound like a bargaining thing, because I feel that it's a little bit dangerous to get too much into the bargaining thing when someone is resistant about something. It's better to get into the bargaining when both of you are so enthusiastic about sex that you just kind of want it to be about you most of the time, and it needs to go back and forth. But if someone's resistant, then trying to do bargaining is not necessarily the best idea. So you said she has looked at all kinds of links and things, but again, I would emphasize, like I did with the previous listener, is that that is your G-spot, is the prostate. And there is an incredible amount of pleasure to be had there. And that's what you really would like her to join you in exploring. That you have had a taste of it because you have done some solo exploration, and that you would love to incorporate this pleasure and enjoy it with her. And Let's see, another piece of advice is she hasn't really told you all about her fears. Well, I can't say that. She may not have told you about another fear when she talked, because she talks about you're the big strong guy and she doesn't want to look at you differently, right? Well, usually in tandem with that comes along with an attitude of that she is afraid that strapping on a dick is going to make her less feminine and it's going to adversely affect her femininity. Now, I've talked about this before. There are all kinds of harnesses out there that are beautifully feminine with garter attachments and all kinds of things. The spare parts, Jacques, I'm glad that she liked it and she liked the material, but it's possible that really dressing it up and having something more sexy and feminine and with the garters and the stockings and bows and stuff like that. And spare parts makes two panty style harnesses like that. I believe one is called the Bella and I can't remember what the other one's called. But they, you know, if that is something that's bothering her, that's an option you can do as well. There is something about her attitude about you wanting to, about her wanting you to be the strong, tough guy. You know, none of us are one way all the time. And what I mean by that is that even the strongest, toughest, most macho guys around occasionally need to let down all those barriers and be vulnerable. And that may be something she's really not used to. She may expect you never to have those moments of vulnerability. And that's an unrealistic expectation. And it's also not an emotionally healthy one. I'm wondering, and this is so personal, so I'm glad that you're anonymous. I'm wondering if you've ever cried in front of her. I'm wondering if you let out emotions very much at all, or do you always play the big tough guy? Because that can affect her vision of you as well. Some women do have trouble seeing their man vulnerable, and it's because they conflate vulnerability with weakness, and those two are completely different things. It actually takes a lot of strength to allow yourself to let down those walls and be vulnerable. It's completely different than weakness, and it's a healthy thing. It is not an unhealthy thing. So I don't know if these points that I'm making give you a little bit of ammunition is a bad word, give you a little bit more information so that the occasional times that the subject does come up, perhaps you'll have different things to talk with her about that she hasn't really thought about. Because there's so many things at play here, you know, your emotional state, her willingness to allow you to take down those walls and not be the big, strong, tough guy all the time. I've gotten letters from the big, strong, tough guys. They have the hardest time allowing pegging vulnerability and all of that and admitting that they like it and telling their girlfriends, because a lot of times these big, strong, tough guys are in jobs and things that demand that they never have any appearance of weakness. And vulnerability is unfortunately seen as weakness all too often. So, yeah, all of that stuff all plays in together. Now, one of the things that I want to tell our readers, you threw out an acronym out there that I had to look up, and I learned something, so thank you, sir. HOCD. HOCD is homosexual OCD. And it's I'm going to read this to you. I got this off the Urban Dictionary. It's a form of obsessive compulsive disorder that deals with one's sexual identity. It's based around the fear that one might become or somehow is homosexual, with this notion going against all rational and actuality of that person's sexual identity as a heterosexual. In part, the fears are that of impulse and loss of control, where one feels overwhelming anxiety around the intrusive thoughts of being sexual and passionate with another member of the same sex. And then it goes on to say, for those unsure about what this feels like, imagine getting the impulse to jump off a cliff. You're standing at the edge and your body and mind scream out, no, but the impulse almost convinces you that you want to do it. You have control over yourself, and you may hastily step back from the edge of the cliff, but might for a few minutes be scared and confused as to why you even had the impulse. This impulse fear is what drives the confusion in all obsessive-compulsive disorders and is quite apparent in HOCD as well. The disorder comes with the thought of the impulse being persistent and intrusive and not being easily dismissed by the obsessive mind. Instead of just being there, it serves to try to convince the person that maybe he did want to jump off the cliff, and maybe that is some actual reality for him. This does not fit with who the person is, and it causes confusion and mental disaster. HOCD manifests as an emotional spike at the sight of an attractive member of the same sex, and then ponder in confusion whether or not he found the person to be sexually attractive. This will be followed by thoughts of doing things sexually with that person, which furthers the anxiety, possibly resulting in compulsive and repetitive checking that manifests itself in many ways. So I wanted to read that for our listeners because I had no idea HOCD was a thing. I knew that sometimes guys were confused and concerned once they discovered the pleasure in their ass that they were gay and what it said about them, what it meant about them, that they liked anal pleasure. But I'd never heard of HOCD, so thanks for the education with that one. And wrapping this up, I think that my main point would be this is not about emasculation, and it's not about gay, which thankfully, hopefully, she's gotten beyond. It's purely about pleasure. And granted, it's about pleasure in a manner that is unusual within the usual designated box of sexuality that people are raised with, that people subscribe to unknowingly and assume that that's all sexuality is. Well, this is outside of the box, absolutely. So that's maybe why she's having such a tough time with it. But hopefully, I've given you pieces of information in here that you, with your patience and your attempts to very, very slowly convince her to try this, maybe it'll work, and I really, really hope it does. Good luck to you, sir, and please let us know how it goes. I am so wanting to play the music for you. I really am. This is an update from one of our listeners that wrote in before. Thank you very much for the link, Ruby, and thank you for the advice. I really appreciate it. I also have an update on my situation. My partner recently asked if I'd like to have that done to me when she caught me watching the pegging videos again. I was hesitant about telling her I wanted it, but finally said yes. She gave me a smile and a wink and said, "We'll see what happens." Lately, I've found she's been looking around for sex toys for Valentine's Day. She has fully accepted my love of pegging and has also performed more prostate massages on me without me asking her to get involved. I also please her in any way I can and have offered to do more if she wants it. I think we're going to take this slow. She knows I want it, and I'm pretty certain she's on board with it, too. Just want to thank you for all your help and advice. It is much appreciated, and I will continue to listen to these awesome podcasts. Yay, some good news. I'm so happy to hear some good news. I know you guys are out there struggling, a lot of you. So thank you, sir, for writing in and giving us the update. I'm glad that she reacted positively. And taking it slow is the best way to do it. I keep talking about that, and I will keep talking about that. You ease into things. And I'm not talking just literally. I'm talking figuratively as well. Take one thing at a time, because really, when you start this whole pegging journey, there's so much to be experienced. There's so much pleasure to be had in so many different steps. And for anybody who's just starting to listen to the podcast, there's an article on my website called Newbie Anal Play. And that is a really good primer for in a situation where you have a man who's really never done much anal stimulation at all. And maybe he's done a little bit of self-stimulation and you're there and you're wanting to try out the new anal stimulation, check it out one thing at a time, leading up to, in the, you know, a ways down the line, pegging eventually. I always advise people to know their own bodies. It's important for everyone to masturbate, and occasionally you run across women who don't. It's important for men to play with their own asses before coming to the table and actually wanting pegging. I really advise that. Because that way, you're going to know what gives you pleasure. You're going to know how much pleasure it can give you to a certain extent. And you'll just come equipped with so much more information to give your partner. And yeah, I definitely advise knowing your own body and how it works first. But occasionally you run into a situation where a guy just is, it's almost this sort of residual homophobia. It's like, okay, so I know there's pleasure in my ass and I want her to play with it, but man, I'm not touching it because if I touch it, that means I'm gay. It's this weird thing, but I've gotten that from guys before, sort of like, no, I'm not doing it. I want her to do it, which is an interesting thing. Hopefully the guys who are listening, who are stuck in that space, get beyond it, man. Have a good time. Explore the pleasure that's there because it is there. Okay, another letter. My boyfriend and I have been exploring pegging these last few months. Your site was so helpful and really made this new experience less intimidating. Thank you. At first, I went with a Tantus flare-based dildo along with a strict leather corset harness. I don't know that I ever got the harness just right. After a few times, I wanted to try a Fieldo out. I love it. We use it a lot in oral play, and it's great. We tried using it with my harness by having it go under the front panel and locking it in with the rings. It worked, but our modification made it put pressure on my body given the angle, and I still felt like I could use more control. He suggested using a drill bit to make a hole in the leather. I think it could work, but I still want more control. The Jacques is just not so sexy to me, but I guess it's the best. Any other suggestions? I guess I want to feel like it's an actual extension of me. Is that expecting too much? As for prostate massage, I read your newbie section in the diagram. I've tried a few times to do it and managed to hit it right once. Truly a fluke, since I can't do it again. I keep feeling for the right spot, but I'm worried my small hands are to blame. Any tips? Okay, let's go back to the harness. You're going to get the most control by using a leather harness that can cinch down tightly and have it right against your body. The leather harnesses that are probably the best for that feeling of total control would be the Aslan, Jaguar, there's the Minx. Those are the best and they're the most highly adjustable and they're just awesome harnesses to cinch that down and have it feel like it's a part of you. They're also double dildo compatible, which is important, obviously, since you've got the Fieldo. Not all harnesses, as you found out, are really well compatible for the doubles. So that's what I would suggest with that. You also talk about the Jacques is not so sexy. Now, I just mentioned to one of the last people that wrote in, Spare Parts makes a couple of really sweet panty harnesses that are very, very feminine, pretty. And you might want to consider those. If I were to compare how much control you have with a leather harness that straps it down versus a panty harness or the Jacques, I would say that you're going to get about a quarter inch movement back and forth. At the maximum, you're going to get half inch, which is a lot when you're trying to have that thing right there and do it exactly what you want. If you've got it adjusted right, it should be about a quarter inch. And I think the best way to describe it, and I have to credit this to the Liberator people with their Valkyrie harness, is the panty harnesses are more for they're more for gentle, seductive pegging as opposed to just totally slamming it home. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of in-betweens in there from slamming it home to gentle, seductive, and in the opposite direction. But I would encourage you not to give up on the harnesses that are made of fabric and the harnesses that are panty harnesses, panty style, because some of those really can do an excellent job. But if what you're looking for is guaranteed strap it down, get the Aslan, because that leather harness just is the best fit. It's an amazing harness, and it's so adaptable to the different size of bodies. If you're a bigger woman, the Minx is better. And if you aren't, if you're more normal sized or thinner, then you can use the Jaguar. Now, trying to find the prostate. First of all, it's important to have him really excited, because when he's really excited, then the prostate is easier to touch. It's easier to find. It is possible, since you say you have small hands. It is possible that you just can't reach it. Even my hands, which are fairly decent sized, they're not particularly big, but they're pretty good sized hands. When I put a finger in, I'm also pushing in to try and reach it. Now, I know right where it is, so I have the advantage, but I'm actually putting my middle finger, which is my longest finger, in, and I am pushing, which basically compresses the flesh around, you know, the buttocks and the, you know, the anal opening and all of that. It pushes in and gives me another good half inch, because that's all flexible in there. And that is how I can reach it. So try going in a little bit further, seeing if you can push your hand in a little bit. That's one thing, along with getting him really excited first. And I do mean really excited. I mean get him to the point where he's ready to come. Then put your finger in his ass and try and find his prostate. Because then it's going to be hard and filled with fluid and a whole lot easier to find. So let's see, what else might I recommend? Okay, as far as the prostate is concerned, I think if you try those things that I mentioned and you still are not having any success, don't feel bad about just getting a toy. I mean, it's nice to be able to get your finger in there, but a toy works equally as well. And then you can depend on your partner to give you feedback. And, you know, I checked back and I saw the type of, I actually did a search on the type of harness that you guys already have. The back of that harness is beautiful. I can see why you bought it, but the front of it is not really well designed with that back plate, and so I think that's why you're having problems with it. If you get on Aslan's website, and that is spelled just like the C.S. Lewis Aslan, A-S-L-A-N, and take a look at their harnesses, you'll see the difference in how they're made much differently than the one that you have. So, and you know, it's an investment. While these things can get expensive, but I think the Aslan is what you're looking for if you want total control. Okay, so let's see here. We're moving on to one more letter. This was a man who wrote in podcast number 75 and said that his wife didn't want to demasculinize him. And he wrote again because I wanted a little bit more information about He mentioned that it was degradation, humiliation, and I was wondering if all of a sudden she had tipped over into that territory and that was the only way she would peg him now, because this is an experienced pegging couple that have just kind of fallen off the pegging wagon, if you will, with children and moves and things like that. But okay, so he's checking in. My wife and I used to do pegging years ago before the move. We never had the domination or degradation involved. It was always sensual and sexual. Now, as time has passed, she tells me that pegging during the action makes her feel as though she is demasculinizing me and refuses to do it. She is bi and knows I'm not gay or bi, so she knows that she is also a nurse and understands the anatomy of the prostate. I retaliated to the no pegging and told her no licking. This is how she comes, because that actually makes me feel as if you don't need my dick. So I refused oral for her last night, and she really didn't like that. I was proving a point, and she still wouldn't even move a hand towards my ass. Is this the end, or is there a way around this? I'm hoping for your next podcast to answer, or just a message back will do. Thank you. Ooh, you're in dangerous territory, sir, because when you start becoming adversarial in the bedroom, it's not a good thing. In other words, she has said, yeah, I'm not going to do the pegging anymore, and to just say, okay, well, fine, then I'm not going to eat your pussy. Forget it. Ideally, more conversation could bring her around. Ideally, using a lot of the information that I gave to previous listeners who wrote in on this very podcast, you could talk with her about, no, it doesn't make you any less of a man. But, you know, all of the people that wrote in today that I've given that advice to, including you, sir, every once in a while, it just doesn't make a difference. Since she used to do it before, and now she doesn't do it now, I would be curious as to what happened in there. What happened to make things change? Did you have an episode of coming together and pegging where you were particularly loss of control or vulnerable or acting in a manner that she didn't find pleasing? Did that happen? Or did perhaps you react like a previous letter writer? Did you give the strap on too much attention and not her? I mean, there's so many different ways that she could have experienced it that suddenly changed her mind, but none of us are mind readers, so really what you need to do is ask her, why now is it different? Why is it different? Because she used to do it before, and it was sensual and sexual, which sounds lovely. Why all of a sudden is she thinking that it affects your masculinity? So I would want that question answered, because for her just to say that and then walk away, no, there needs to be some explanation there. But retaliation, ooh, that's kind of tough. I mean, I know that at some point in time that ends up proving a point, at least, and if a person isn't willing to talk about something, that may at least get to the table of talking about it. So, but I'd like to know how that went and if anything has progressed since then, because there has been a fair amount of time since my last podcast. So I'm wondering if there's any updates. So when you hear this, please write in and let me know how it's going. But advice is very similar to the other people who wrote in. Tell her that if she enjoys her G-spot or her clitoral orgasms, that this is an area in your body that gives you amazing orgasms, and you would really like to experience that with her. And it's all about pleasure. It's not about who's the man. It's not about her taking your masculinity. It doesn't even have to be about you guys reversing roles. She can lay on her back with that strap on, and you can ride her. So there's lots of different ways to handle her concerns, but I don't think she's really given you all the information at this point. So I am hoping maybe that things have gotten resolved in the in-between that I have not done my podcast, but please do write and let us know, and good luck to you, sir. Okay, another letter, another follow-up letter. Just to follow up, I tried talking to my wife several times and got the one-word answer and changed the subject routine, so I decided to write a letter. I didn't include any kinks, just the desire to have more sex and not the same old, same old. We talked, and she said she has no libido. All my suggestions for doctor supplements, food to boost her libido, anything, were met with a no, no, no. She's not interested in more or different sex. She did ask what I wanted to have her do, so I told her that I would like prostate massage. Got the same thing there. No, no, no. So I guess my desires just don't count. I'm pretty frustrated and sad, but life goes on. Maybe I should try and find a playmate. Pretty tricky, though. I'm at a loss now. Oh, I feel so sad for you, sir. Goodness. You approached this very carefully. I know you and I exchanged a couple of letters back and forth before you talked with her. So I'm kind of sad that it all came down the way it did. But it is important for her to have her libido checked out, because for her to expect you to go for the rest of your life and have hardly any sex because she has no libido is unreasonable. So the two choices are either she corrects her libido and becomes a sexual partner again and meets those needs of yours, and we're just forgetting about the pegging here for a moment, or she gives you permission to go off and have those needs met somewhere else. But to condemn you to the rest of your lives together with hardly any sex just because she doesn't want to have it is really not okay. So I would perhaps put it in those words. I mean, it's a sad thing that marriages can get to this point where one person, for whatever reason, just doesn't want to have sex anymore and expects the other person to still remain faithful, to not go out and get their needs met in some other manner. So that needs to be a conversation that you guys have. And that actually needs to be something that gets settled before the pegging thing is approached, because right now it's strictly about libido. It's not about pegging. And hopefully she will decide that she would like to once again be a sexual woman and enjoy and crave sex with you. And then you two can talk about pegging a little bit more. But the libido thing really needs to get handled. Okay, good luck to you, sir. Let us know how it goes. And then here's another letter. I know you're up to your eyeballs and stuff to do, but I have a suggestion. Perhaps a special podcast or frequently asked questions in which you speak in an experienced female voice directly to female partners of men wanting to be pegged. You might incorporate what men get or want out of pegging and directly address typical female fears and discomforts revolving around pegging. I only say this because much of the time your voice is directed at men who are talking with their female partners. Yeah. Perhaps a resource for the guy to say to his gal, here, please listen to this, would be helpful. Just a thought. That's a really excellent idea, and I am going to make either the next podcast or the one after that exactly that. I'm going to have a top to bottom talking to them about all the different things, talking to just the women, so that, yes, you guys can send your women to this podcast and let them listen, and hopefully that will do the trick, or that will get them interested and exciting about pegging you guys. The other thing I'm planning on that someone else suggested to me was a podcast that basically had interviews with a bunch of women who love pegging. And so what I'm going to try and do is to follow them back to back. In other words, I'm going to have the podcast directed towards women and talking to them in my voice and telling them all about pegging, and then I'm going to have as many women as I can get who love pegging interview with me, and we're going to talk about what they love about it. Because there's no more powerful persuasion than personal experience. That's what I find. So I think that that's going to be a hell of a podcast and a hell of a resource too. So yay. Okay, this is getting to be a long podcast, but I so owe you guys. Couple more things. This is a real quick note that I got on FetLife. Fun Factory Share, any hints on how to insert the bulb on the giver's end? My partner is petite, size 4, and postmenopausal and is having difficulties. Thanks. Okay, this is one of the complaints about the Fun Factory Share. It's a great toy, but some women claim the bulb part really is uncomfortable for them because it's too big. We're all built differently, obviously. And some women say that it's just uncomfortable because it's a little bit too big. Because if she's having trouble inserting it, it sounds like it's too big. The postmenopausal may not do her any favors along those lines, because a fair number of women, when they're postmenopausal, lose their natural lubrication. So the lubrication and taking it really slow is the only advice I really have to give you. The other advice is to get a different toy. There's an article on the double-ended dildos that have all the measurements on my website. And I will put a link up in the Linkorama and direct you towards that, because you can compare exactly. I mean, you can do your own research, but at least it's all in one place if you want to just check out the different doubles and see exactly how they're shaped and find the one that looks a little bit better than the one that you have. And it might also, you know, let you realize why it's not working, because I believe the bulb on that one is the thickest and some women just can't handle it. So that's all the information I have for you. Okay. A quick note, you guys know that I am a published writer now. I've talked about that. Women's Best Erotica 2014. My story in there is called Revealing. And it hit the stands in terms of Amazon and stuff like that. And what do you call it? Barnes & Noble. That's it. And places like that. It got released a while ago. But I got my 2 free copies of the book from Kleist Press. And I just wanted to tell you, because it's a thrill to hold a book in your hand that has part of it written by you. I'm sure it's an even bigger thrill to hold a book in your hand that was written entirely by you. So to have this softcover book, open it up, and find my story in there. I took some pictures, and I'm going to put them on Facebook of that page, because it's a thrill. I'm so proud, and it's just the coolest thing ever. And it's a very, very hot story, too. And I've started reading some of the other stories. I'm pretty busy right now, so I haven't read many. But it's also that I read a story and then I have to get off on it because they're good stories. So I highly recommend the book. You guys should check it out. And it is on Kindle download. And once again, you do not have to have a Kindle to download it. There's Kindle apps for your phone. And it automatically sets it all up if you have a a desk computer, a PC, or a laptop, and it's not any Kindle related or anything. You don't have to have a Kindle to read Kindle downloads. So give it a check out and have some fun with that book. I certainly am. Oh, and I think I'm finally done. Oh, one last thing I wanted to tell you is that I am running a caption contest on my website. So if you go to my blog, peggingparadise.com, you will see a caption contest, and it has a picture of a woman that has a Supergirl costume on and a dildo harness strapped over the top of it. You can't see her head, and I'm pretty sure it's an amateur photo, you know, Halloween, whatever. But I am looking for the winner of the caption, the best caption that you can find for that, and what you win will be a 1-year subscription to my top of the line I Want It All erotica subscription, which gives you access to all my archives as well as one story a month for an entire year. So give it your best shot, people. Go for it. You can leave your questions at 805-500-6544, and I'm feeling really lonely because I'm not getting any phone calls. Please call me up and tell me your questions instead of writing them. I invite the brave ones among you to do that. I would love it. You can follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook page and a profile as well, so you can, both of those are public, and the page, you can give me a thumbs up, would be awesome. My blog does have sexy pictures and articles that I write that really never show up in my podcast, so you can check that out if you want. Subscribe to it. My podcast is available on iTunes and can also be listened to directly on my blog at peggingparadise.com. And my stories, as I mentioned, the book is available on Amazon Kindle download, but my stories are as well. I have a bunch of my stories up on Amazon Kindle store available for purchase now. All you have to do is get in the Amazon Kindle store and put in Ruby Writer, and you will find it. Please send any questions you have, stories, anything, to ruby@peggingparadise.com, or click the right Ruby links at the upper right of every page of my blog. Or better yet, call me. I want to hear your voice. I know you guys are listening because you're writing me, but I'd like to listen to you and play some of your questions. Thank you, as always. Thank you for downloading and listening, and happy pegging.